listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And a big good morning to you here at WCNO as we embark on yet another journey of discovery and as we dive deep into the issues of the day. But I'm going to have to, and I always enjoy introducing my co-host, although I frankly can't remember from our call yesterday who I'm going to do last, because I think it's going to be Stephanie, because she's going to say some things. But first, and to my right, although you don't know that, one day we're going to have cameras in here, by the way, and probably be on Facebook Live. That's down the road. Which road, I don't know. Are we on that one? I can't tell you. Anyway, Keith Masters, my brother, good morning.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Man, I think I'm okay. I'm good. Praise God. Amen. Only because of him.
Amen.
And then Ann Limhoko.
I was waiting for who Keith is going to greet this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Because Keith always greets people.
To do a shout-out. Come on, Keith.
Shout-out, amen. Yesterday when I was on the street, okay, sharing the good news, I'm at the corner. I'm at the street corner, and a car stops at the red light, and one of the guys waves me over to the car. He said, "God bless you," to me, right? He's yelling out the window, "God bless you." He's at the red light. And he's, I got to say, I mean, just silver hair, silver mustache, and silver beard, just really. And he was all done up in black leather, but fine leather, because when he called me over. And he just, you know what he said to me when I got to the car? He said, "You got no idea how happy he is that you're out here doing this right now."
Praise God.
And amen. So, and you know, it's not, and the Lord put this on my heart, it's not about me. It's about everybody else sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the glory of the Lord. And these two guys, when they were at the light, it just, indescribable. And the blessing that they put upon me and the encouragement that they put upon me while I was out there was absolutely amazing. And so I went out into the street, just an FYI follow up. So I go back to the street corner, and I've got signs over the all over the place. Jesus is God. Jesus loves you. Heaven is real. You know? I mean, I've got the word
Keith,
of God.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've got the word of God all over the street corner, and people know me. And out of nowhere, after those guys left, light turns green, red, green, red. A cop comes by and he pulls over where there's a turning lane, and he says, "Stay out of the street and stay on the sidewalk." Ooh. And I said, "I am." He goes, "No, you're not." I said, "I am on the sidewalk. What are you talking about?" So all of a sudden it dawned on me. I went out to the street. And he goes, I go, "Oh, you're right." So he was lurking somewhere, right? He was lurking somewhere, but look at this, right? How God is protecting me on the street corner, right? How God is protecting me on the street corner, because I don't know how long he was sitting there.
Wow.
Is that amazing or what?
Wow. Amen. Because you're his servant. Right.
I got to say, sometimes I'm jealous about listening to these stories, because that there's no distraction for you to talk about Jesus on the street, because that's why you're there.
That's why I'm there. A lot of times, that's his calling.
He's
and sometimes we have to find those moments that we get to talk about Jesus, but it's really interesting to hear these stories.
Yeah. I
so
love
thank
them
you.
Too.
You
know,
it
really is. Yeah, I mean, first he disciplines me, right? He disciplines me.
He disciplines those he loves, though.
Amen. Amen. And then I, at the end of it, I said, "God bless you, officer." He goes, "God bless you too."
Aww, yeah. Amen.
Well, that's a great. That's a sweet moment. That's a sweet moment.
Amen.
Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Move. That's great.
Amen. But yeah. This was such an impression on my heart, though. It's just unbelievable.
It's like a God wink to just let you know, Keith. Keep it up. Yeah. He loves you.
I'm
He's
telling
proud of you.
You know?
Yeah.
It's really. Praise God. Yeah, an uplifting moment. Talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, for a long, long time.
And you know, from time to time, we do need those moments of affirmation from the Lord.
We do.
And he'll use somebody, you know. I mean, if we're really tracking along in the Spirit, I don't have an ego to satisfy.
Amen.
And so I don't need to have constant pats on the back. Because every now and then, when I'm in that mode, mm-hmm. it's great for God to send somebody and say, hey, Dave, you're doing a great job. Just want you to know that.
Right.
To some degree. We all need that, and God does it. He knows.
We do need that. And, you know, one of the things that I try to do, be very conscious of, is if someone blesses me, I always tell them this. Because how are they going to know if you don't tell them? And I know God can be the one to do it. But sometimes we get to be the blessing to them by saying, hey, what you did for me today, or just you being in, you know, in the room or whatever, is the blessing. So it's fun to bless people with God's joy.
Absolutely.
You know?
And we need it, especially in times like this.
Yes.
And especially we're now going to enter into a discussion of a very critical issue.
Yeah.
But check this out before we change into that. The woman, there was a woman that stopped her car and she said, here, I got you a black cup of coffee.
Oh.
Wow.
Now this is in between lights. So don't, and you know, people have been saved on that street corner. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, God is doing amazing things on that street corner. And so, you know.
Deal.
Church is happening.
Well, church is not in the four walls.
Amen.
It's not in the four walls. So.
We need the four walls to get to come together and worship together and fellowship, to praise God, to be blessed and to be taught and to be discipled. But all of that so that we can leave the building and go out, you know, Monday through
be the light.
Saturday
Amen.
And be the light. Some
be the
there.
Light.
So y'all listening? Okay. And speaking of that, now we're going to move into, I'm going to go to Stephanie last, but she's going to start us off. But just to say, you know, in the news, always in the news, is abortion. And it's pretty hot topic, and particularly today we want to, Stephanie has a personal story of, because of her ministry involved in I don't know how you clarify or qualify your particular ministry, but it's sharply educational, mm-hmm. and it is challenging people with the truth. Mm-hmm. Of the life, of God's love for life, and the murder of abortion, and all that goes with that. And so she'll be kicking us off there. Specific issue of a lawsuit that she was witness to in Missouri involving Planned Parenthood. And we're also going to be talking about some scriptural references we're making later on, because several people, allegedly Christians, in their own mind perhaps, using the Bible to affirm and justify abortion. And of course, that's nothing new, because people love to use the Bible to justify any sin that they want to do. Having said that, Stephanie Jacobson, good morning.
Good morning.
You forgot to introduce me.
I was going to say, we kind of skipped over.
And I was like, Holy Spirit, do I say something? Because I wanted to say something. Is that okay?
No, I
don't want to take long.
I was actually going to come back to you.
I got messed up because you were inputting, but I hadn't introduced
you. No, that's okay. There's no offense.
This is Ann Limhoko.
And I'm okay being skipped, but I had a story. The one time I really have a story, like Keith does every broadcast. But I was going through Dunkin' Donuts, and I did a pickup order for an iced coffee. And I am looking at the guy who's giving me the iced coffee, the Dunkin' Donuts staffer. And he looks very gothic. Mm. He's got earrings and in his nose ring. Just looks dark.
Right.
And what comes out of my mouth is, what is your name?
Oh.
And he's like, Enrique. I go, God bless you, Enrique. And then I go, can I pray for you? It just came out of nowhere.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And you know what? He pauses, and then he goes, yes.
Wow.
So I was able to say a quick prayer for him. Cool. It was quick because the Dunkin' Donuts line is long, and I didn't want to get him in trouble. But I want our listeners to pray for Enrique, because he was open to being prayed for, and I was able to pray over him. And I prayed that the Lord would encounter him in a deep, deep way.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Praise God. Let's pray for Enrique.
Yes.
So anyways, now we can go to Stephanie,
because
I wanted people to know that.
And I didn't. I really apologize.
No. I'm not offended.
I was observing you and listening to you, but I forgot I hadn't mentioned your
name. That's okay.
So you can be the unnamed co-host today. Stephanie.
Yes.
Take us out.
We're getting there.
All right. Well, it's good to be back, actually. I've been gone for a while, so it's kind of fun to be sitting in the studio with everybody today. And it's good because God has been taking me on a journey for, 63 years, but mm-hmm. for the last 10 years has been an interesting journey. And gave me a promise 10 years ago that he was going to show me why I was afflicted. And that 10-year mark was on January the 11th, 2026. And God has been over the top doing things in the last few weeks that I just couldn't have ever imagined. But before we really get started into this, I wanted to just kind of give a trigger warning about the subject matter, because David's already talked about the fact that we're going to be talking about abortion today. And I'm always sensitive to the audience, because there'll be people that will shut this off and say, I don't want to hear anything about it. A lot of times that's because they have been, you know, a part of an abortion, or they've had an abortion, or, you know, they've been a mother to someone who's had an abortion, or, you know, we don't think about the outlying people. We always just think about the woman. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you have had an abortion or been a part of one and have not been through an abortion recovery Bible study or retreat, I highly recommend attending one and let Holy Spirit help heal.
Yes.
And deal with the hidden pain that you may be carrying from abortion. I want to say this real quick, that forgiveness is one thing that we can have at the foot of the cross, no matter what the sin is. It does not matter.
Yes.
But I want to talk about for a second the forgiveness part, and then there's a healing part.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to think that forgiveness is all there is. And it is the thing that we want to ask for at the foot of the cross. But healing comes when we actually face it and we look at it. And a lot of times these women are grieving the loss of their child.
Mm.
And people think, well, they don't have a right to do that because they took the life of their child.
Mm.
And that's another lie from the enemy.
Yeah.
A loss is a loss, and it doesn't matter how or when they had the loss. It took me 40 years to come to a place where I could actually grieve the loss of the two abortions that I had before I was 19.
Yeah.
And my first one was at 16.
Yeah.
And I'll talk about that in just a bit. But I just wanted to give that trigger warning. I will say that I've got a helpline that I'm going to give right now. And if you are struggling with this and you don't want to listen to the rest of it, please call this helpline. Mm. There will be somebody on this helpline that has had anybody on them. And we'll be able to relate to you. That number is 866-721-7881. And they would love to hear your stories. I also work on this helpline, and I love to talk to women and men that have gone through abortion. We do have men on the line as well. So we have someone there that can take those calls. So anyway, I want to welcome everybody to this program, because I've been kind of hoping that this would happen at some point. There was a hard launch for the ministry that God has been stewarding in me over the last 10 years. And that was on January the 11th. So it was up in Palm Coast. And the ministry that he's given me, that I've named, and I've had people push back on this name, is called Bulletproof Alliance. And we got to give a hard launch in front of 2,600 people during five different services. Yeah. So Pastor Greg up there was just so generous to give us the platform and to be able to really just dedicate that day to talking to women and men that have gone through abortion. So a little bit about Bulletproof Alliance is, I guess this is kind of our vision, is a God-centered network and community of women who have been healed and are ready to boldly share their testimonies. Those powerful stories are instrumental in restoring individuals, families, the church, and even influencing culture and politics. Through mutual support and encouragement, this strong network of women inspires one another to speak out and declare freedom that will make abortion inconceivable in our nation. And one of the things that I would encourage women, especially if you've had an abortion and you've been forgiven, go get some healing so that you can join us and be the voice for these babies and these mamas that are hurting. And let's stop abortion. And we're one of the frontline people that are able to help stop abortion because we've been through it. So there's my tagline is one heart, millions of voices, silencing abortion through truth. So that's kind of the intro of my ministry. And if you want to go and find me online, it's bulletprooftruth.org. And you can email me at Stephanie@bulletprooftruth.org. I want to step into my story a little bit. We'll talk. You guys can interrupt anytime you want to and ask questions if you want to.
Can I just say something really quick,
yeah,
Stephanie?
Absolutely.
The enemy's tactic is for women, and I like that you said men, because men are also part of that decision sometimes, many times. But the enemy wants them to stay in bondage, even though they've been forgiven, like you talked about, but they don't seek the help to get healed. And it's a deep, deep thing that can affect them. So they need to, even though they've asked the Lord for forgiveness, they got to go through that healing process.
Because
then you're walking in shame, and the enemy wants us to walk in shame. Yeah. And then we're not living according to the purpose. So I would urge people to call this helpline. And there's no shame.
No.
No shame.
No. And no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yep.
You know, and that does keep us silent a lot of times, because we think, well, I can't speak out against it because I've done this.
Mm.
And that keeps us trapped. That keeps us trapped in our shame. And what I really like to say is we're under the pews in the church.
Yeah.
How can I speak against it? You know?
Yep.
So I will say that I had two abortions before I was 19. And by my late 20s, I had heard this... this interesting radio show, interesting, called Tilly, and it's back in the 80s, and it triggered me in my late 20s, and I got really, really bad anxiety, depression. I was not well. In fact, suicidal ideations. I mean, it was not good. And at one point, my medical doctor that I was seeing at the time, a family doctor, he was not a psychiatrist, family doctor, misdiagnosed me with bipolar. That is a huge, they put me on lithium. That is a huge, it was a mistake, but I didn't tell him that I'd had two abortions. So he misdiagnosed me, but he didn't have all the information.
Yeah.
If we're not telling...
You were still in shame at that point?
Oh,
Stephanie?
Yes.
Okay.
This was in my 20s. I did not find healing until my 50s.
Okay.
So this was an ongoing journey for me. By the time I was, 30, I'm now dealing with this lithium and my body is not reacting well to it. And finally, I ended up going to a psychiatrist because I'm thinking, I need to figure out why I feel so horrible. And so when I went, they told me, I actually went to two different ones, and a psychiatrist, and they told me, you're not bipolar. But I had told them that I'd had the abortions. Years later, this doctor and I talked, and that's been about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, did I ever tell you that I had had abortions? And he said, that's unresolved grief. He knew what it was. But if we're not honest and we're not able to speak out because of the shame, then what's the point, right? What's the point of going to the doctor? Because if you're not going to tell them the truth of your whole history.
False diagnosis.
Yep. It is a bad diagnosis. But, that's when I began really looking deeper and trying to figure out. But it wasn't until my 50s that the Lord started really giving me healing. That brought on the ability to start this ministry then 10 years ago. And I'm going to jump ahead to kind of give us an idea of what's going on now, why we're even talking about this today.
Yes.
There's a scripture in Genesis that says that God created humans in his own image.
Mm-hmm.
And the fight that's being waged today is for the Imago Dei, which is the image bearer of God.
Yes.
Which is human life, right?
Imago Dei is Latin for
image
of God.
Of God, yep. Yes. So we are image bearers of God, and he created us in his image, and the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And if he can if he can snuff out the image bearer of God before she takes a breath, he thinks that he has won the fight, mm-hmm. which is not true, because guess what? There are those of us that understand that we need to protect the image bearer of God. But this country has kind of turned upside down with all kinds of rhetoric and lies and all. And just recently, Florida went through the amendment process where we defeated abortion up to birth in our Constitution, correct?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. I'm so proud of the ones that went out there and did the fighting, because we had a lot of churches engaged. And I'm going to say that that was what took this thing over the victory line. God was gracious and allowed that to stay. Now, we still have... Mm-hmm. We have a ban on abortion up to 6 weeks. So we still have abortion in this in the state.
We still have work to do on this.
Like,
yep.
I think I won't be able to say the exact number, something like 63,000 a year still in this state. Mm. So that's 63,000 too many mm-hmm. at this point. But at the same time, Missouri was fighting. We were fighting down here. Missouri was also fighting, and I'm from Missouri, so that's where I had my first abortion. But when I was asked by the attorney general up there to come up and help fight a lawsuit that Planned Parenthood was waging against the state of Missouri after they had already won the amendment. Planned Parenthood had won the amendment, so they had abortion up to birth in their constitution. Mm. Okay, so right now, abortion up to birth in their constitution. So what was the lawsuit about? The lawsuit, get this, was to take away any of the laws that had been on the books for the last 50 years that we'd been chipping away at, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to make abortion illegal in the state, to wipe all of those statutes off of the books. What were those statutes for? It wasn't even about the life of the child. It was about the protection of the women, because that was the only thing that they could really fight in the legislation about, because they weren't really touching the abortion the abortion topic. Mm-hmm. But making the health care for the women safe. Now think about how diabolical this is, that they are now coming back. Planned Parenthood is suing the state of Missouri mm-hmm. to take all of the statutes off the books to be health care for the women. It doesn't make sense.
I mean, purely evil.
It is evil.
Purely, and it's with, up to what 9 I understand.
Months. Up to 9 months.
Well, now you have to realize this isn't about abortion per se. This mm-hmm. is about health care for the women while they're going in to have the abortion up to birth.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay, so these are two separate issues.
So they're rephrasing it.
No, they're trying to get rid of all the statutes and laws.
So they can do abortion.
Protecting the baby.
Protecting the mother. It's the health care of the mother. See, this is what's so diabolical. It's so confusing. Mm. They want confusion. They are trying to take away the health care to the mother. Simple things.
Like, so when you say health care, what exactly does that mean?
Okay. A 72-hour waiting period. So the requiring the patients to wait 3 days between an initial appointment and the procedure. Okay, so they can't go in that same day and get an abortion. You have to have a moment of waiting.
Yeah, because, yeah, that's what's on the books.
Does anybody...
But okay. They want to get rid of that, Keith.
They want to get...
From the state that's required.
Yes.
Okay, so these are the things from the state that...
Yes.
...that Planned Parenthood is trying to get rid of.
Right, so they don't have any restrictions.
Okay,
the facility
so that you can
regulations.
Just go and get it done. Okay.
Right, like the facility regulations. Licensing. They want to get rid of licensing. They don't want anybody to have a license. Admitting privileges. Requiring... that
so
physicians
evil.
Have hospital admitting privileges. Who doesn't?
This is evil.
Okay.
Evil, evil.
Isn't it odd, though, that they tout, and I say they, Planned Parenthood touts the fact that they are for women.
That's a big lie.
Okay. So I went and told my story in Missouri on the 20th. I was a witness. I was a fact witness for the state of Missouri. Guys,
in the lawsuit.
In the lawsuit that was happening.
Against Planned Parenthood.
Against Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Actually two Planned Parenthoods and ACLU,
right.
too.
They brought the lawsuit against the state of Missouri
yes.
to get these statutes right. wiped off the books.
So they were the plaintiff in that lawsuit.
Correct.
Yep.
So I just have to say that Sunday before that I was going to be on the stand, I was in church in Missouri at my daughter's church. And I was praying, and I won't go into all the details, but I was praying about the case, and I heard the Lord say, I'm going to shut the mouths of the lions. And I was like, okay, listen, I don't know about y'all, but that was a big giant in my life to face Planned Parenthood lawyers. This was a national thing they brought in from New York.
And they got millions of dollars behind it, too.
Well, they do, but they brought in, I went through 5.5 hours of depositions in June against the Planned Parenthood. They sat across the table from me.
Right, that you couldn't speak about, right.
Yes,
right.
This was all stuff that I had to be very quiet about until now.
Yep.
But now I'm having to sit in a courtroom. It's a bench
trial.
Mm-hmm. It's not a jury trial. Mm-hmm. So I've got a judge that's sitting to my right. There's 25 different lawyers from Planned Parenthood. We had seven or eight. Mm. I will tell you, though, those lawyers that were from the state of Missouri were amazing,
Praise God.
People.
Amen.
That were in the courtroom. Mm-hmm. And I was so... I wasn't nervous, but I was a little bit scared.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's backwards. I wasn't scared. I was nervous.
Yep.
So
this is the spiritual battle that we're living in that people don't understand exactly what it is. It's the spiritual battle. And now what that did is you had to go physically to fight in the physical,
that's right.
The spiritual battle.
That's right.
And this is what people need to understand.
That's right.
That they have to be in the physical to fight the spiritual.
Yeah.
It is true. And before I walked in, I'm not going to tell the whole story because it would take too long. However, God shut the mouths of the lions. And how he shut the mouths of the lions is there was a story they did not want me to tell. Because I'm on this helpline, and it was a story they didn't want me to tell.
How did you know?
Oh, because it was in the depositions and they did not want to put it in the depositions, but we entered it into the depositions in June.
Okay.
And they knew this story would probably be coming out. Well, when I told the story, the whole room erupted, but I only got to do the very last part of the story, and I won't say it right now. I'm going to be writing about it so y'all can read it in the book. But when I told that, the whole room erupted.
What do you mean erupted?
They were like, oh, no. I mean, the judge was gaveling and saying, order in the court.
You weren't allowed to say that
They were objecting.
They
were objecting.
Right. Because the truth came out. The truth came out.
And the judge abstained. So said, okay, we'll let you have this objection. That's fine. Then they asked that it be stricken from the record. That the whole story be stricken from the record. She let that be stricken from the record. So I walked out of the courtroom and I thought I was done. The lawyers came out and said, don't go anywhere. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. So I stood there and they said, after lunch, you're going to come back in and tell that story again. And I said, what?
Really?
The state of Missouri fought for me to be able to tell that story so that if it goes to the next court, that story will be in the testimony.
So they had it, so it would be on the record again. Would be on the record for you to tell it. It would be on the record.
Yes,
okay,
it would be on the record.
That makes sense.
So here's where God showed up. I walk in the courtroom. Their head judge or their head lawyer gets up and says, "So, Judge, does this mean that we don't get to object while she's telling the story?" You know what came back to my mind? I'm
going to
shut the mouths of the lions. Guys, I got to tell
Praise God.
And so it hasn't been, the whole thing hasn't been, you know, decided yet. That's not going to be until after April.
Yeah.
But.
Judge's decision.
We need to pray for that.
That is something that I am going to ask everybody to pray for. And pray for Bulletproof Alliance, because this is something we're going to have to be on the front lines for this.
Oh, we must do that. And I know God's really got you in the front line.
Praise God.
Which is not, I'm not promoting the Monday program now, but I'm saying you really are on the front line.
It is.
And we don't know where it's going to go, but it's going to be more intense.
It is.
Boy, we need to pray for Stephanie. And while we're at it, let's take a break here. We kind of need to cool off a little bit. But we'll come back and we're going to heat it up again, though.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Welcome back. Welcome back. We're going to bring a guest on the phone. And Kay, we're playing. I was speaking over the music. I'll probably get a letter from the producer or the composer. Anyway, we have a guest on the line for the next few minutes, Ingrid Ford, and I believe that Stephanie is going to introduce her. Stephanie, would you do that?
I would love to introduce her. This is a friend that I met actually through Keith and another blessed woman that we know in South Florida. And actually, I was in the state. I was in D.C. when Keith called me and said, "Hey, I need you to meet somebody." I was in the standing in the Senate hall. And I'm like, "What? Who do you need me to meet right now?" And he said, "There's this woman by the name of Ingrid Ford, and she's with Faith Family Advocates." And I went, "Faith and Family Advocates, I've heard of her before." And so this is how I got to know Ingrid, and she is a sister in Christ. And I just want to bring her, we want to bring her on and let her tell a little bit about what she does. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you never know where, when God calls you into a fight or when he calls you to do something, where it's going to lead. And I just love her story. So maybe she can tell a little bit about what she does here in the state of Florida. Hello, Ingrid.
And this is against the abortion,
too. Hi. Yeah. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me, Stephanie.
Yes.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Keith. I'm so honored to be on. And I was just listening to your conversation, and definitely am in agreement that women who've had abortions need not just to experience forgiveness, but healing is very powerful, because now that gives them a voice and a platform to help other women and to help affect legislation. And, you know, women may say, who've had abortions may say, you know, how can I make a difference? You know, what can I do to help? But it's a simple step of starting to use their voice,
amen,
out of their pain, out of their regret and experiences, to now take a stand against the abortion. So that's how I got started. I just started by taking a stand, going to Tallahassee, talking to legislators, and expressing some of the sorrows and biblical concerns, you know. And
how long have you been doing this, Ingrid?
I became part of many fights in the state of Florida, part of the heartbeat bill fight. I was involved with that.
Right.
I was one of the Florida regional field directors on the Amendment 4. I was involved with that. So just by taking a stand,
amen,
getting healed yourself so that now you can help other women heal, but also affect legislation that will not just make abortion illegal in the state of Florida, which is going to be our next move, but also unthinkable.
Amen.
Amen.
How long have you been in the fight, Ingrid?
12 years. I started out 12 years ago with an organization, Christian Family Coalition. You know, just started going to Tallahassee, standing against abortion, and we watch over time with so many other pro-life organizations how God moved, and we always give the glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. From, you know, abortion on demand to after Roe v. Wade, 24 weeks abortion laws in the state of Florida, that was reduced to 15-week week abortion, and now we have a 6-week abortion law.
Yes.
And the goal is to stand for sanctity of life from inception. And so we're looking to have zero abortions legal in the state of Florida over time. And if God took out the giant of Roe v. Wade, he certainly can take it out in the state of Florida. So
Amen.
We're
Amen.
Very, very optimistic. And so glad that we're talking about this issue today. And the churches, pastors, faith leaders need to be bold to take a stand. If we're going to see zero abortion in the state of Florida, it's going to be all of us who have to join the fight, not just a few, but all of us, to be bold and stand up and talk about it, put our heads together, and see how we can finally eradicate this evil from the state of Florida. And so we're having an event coming up, Faith and Family Advocates Annual Pastors and Faith Leaders Breakfast on Saturday, February 21st. That's going to be at the South Florida Bible College and Seminary in Deerfield Beach at 9 a.m. And so pastors and faith leaders can come and hear about the issues, how they can become involved. As simple as, you know, taking a stand, calling your legislators, emailing legislators, and just showing up, speaking from the pulpit, the issue of life
Amen.
And the sanctity of life.
Can you tell us, do you have a phone number that they can call or an email address that they can email you?
Yes. They can call 954-547-6480, or they can email me at ingrid@faithfamilyadvocates.com, and we'll be able to, you know, give them more information. But it's time for the church to finally
yes.
arise and shine.
This
is yes. the hour where our light has come. The glory of the Lord is upon us. The government is on the shoulder
Amen.
Of Jesus.
That's
We've
right.
been given the power and authority
yes.
to subdue every living thing in the earth, in the state, and we will Amen. Subdue abortion to the glory of God.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. I love that.
Thank you,
yes.
Ingrid. That was beautiful so much.
And I'm glad to hear, Ingrid, this event is going to involve pastors. There's still a lot of pastors that won't deal with this. From the pulpit as well as any other venue that God's given them. And that concerns me as a pastor myself. And before you go, I just want to ask, because of that, you know, talk a little bit, you know, what's your experience been with, you know, your encounters with the church? Positive or negative, you know?
I'll be happy to share that. My encounter with the church is, especially, you know, I traveled the state on the amendment for, I was in one of the field directors, and there are some churches that would not even allow us to come in. Some would not even take the amendment for information. We're just giving you information so you can educate the congregants, and many would not even take the brochures. And there was a, you know, pushback from some churches, believe it or not. I had an encounter where I try to give it to the usher. I said, okay, we won't be able to speak, I understand, but here are the materials so you can give the truth to the people. And, you know, she says, why do you care about abortions anyways? You know, if the babies are killed, aren't they going to heaven? I was shocked and appalled. Yep.
Yeah,
Wow.
She did say, if the babies are killed, they're going to heaven anyways, so why do I care about it? And so we just pray against this spirit of nonchalance. We just bind that mm-hmm. off the churches, you know, from off the pastors, and we just lose the boldness, you Amen. Know, the, mm-hmm. The courage, the righteousness of God. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of the throne of God. So if you are calling on God, then these should be your pillars that you stand on, Amen. Righteousness and justice.
Amen.
And how can we snuff the life of an unborn voiceless child out and of a mother's womb and call that justice?
Right.
You know,
Amen.
Life is God's idea. He came that we may have life
true.
And have life more abundantly. And no man has the authority or audacity to determine which child live and which child dies.
That's right. Can I ask you a question? Where we are now, though, with the church right now, I think Amendment 4 helped to open the churches up a little bit and realize that they do have a voice. Aren't you seeing a little bit more of the churches open up, though? I'm very pleased with what I'm seeing, actually. I am. I don't know if everybody's seeing that across the board, but I do think that there are a lot more churches that are, and I want to give credit where credit is due, because some of these pastors are really coming alive with this and realizing that they need to make sure that this is talked to into their congregations.
Absolutely, Stephanie. Many churches, there are pastors who never spoke of the abortion issue, who did came and spoke about it on their pulpit during the Amendment 4 campaign.
Amen.
So we do honor and give kudos to those pastors who had the courage to stand then. But this is not a part-time situation.
No, it isn't.
Abortion
no.
is evil.
Yes.
It is a full-time job,
yep.
and we need all pastors to stand together with us on this issue. Because it is at the heart of God. Life is at the heart of God. And it's time. It's time that all of us stand together
Amen.
And extinguish this evil from our state and our nation.
Well, Ingrid, thank you so much for being on with us today. I'm going to give that number one more time. It's 954-547-6480. And that's Ingrid at faithfamilyadvocates.com if you want to go to this event on February the 21st at 9 a.m. Thank you so much for being with us today. And one of these days we'll get you back on the air. We'll come and bring you into the studio and be in here with us.
It's already on my list.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
God
yeah.
bless you, Ingrid.
God
bless
you.
God bless you.
Have a great day.
Love you.
Thank you,
sister. Ingrid.
Wow, that is so cool. I'm glad that you know her and you got her connected.
And
with.
I love that she's fighting it at the legislative level.
Yeah,
you know,
she's
like
very
you're
active.
At
yeah,
churches,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. So.
And that's where it needs to be fought.
This is
just one
on
facet,
there.
Though, because it has to be fought at the churches at all different levels. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you, David, but this is what we're trying to promote in our church and in our family, is to get more active and more involved.
Yes.
So that we do have the strength needed in the ballot box. This is where we need to fight the fight.
Fun story about her. When I went to Florida Family Voice last year, mm-hmm. took my table up there with my Bulletproof Alliance stuff, and I was so naive. Anyway, we're standing there, and somebody comes up, and we prayed over them and all. Honestly, when Keith asked me about her, I went back through all my pictures. She was standing right next to me in that picture at the Capitol.
Wow.
God makes connections even when we don't know
yeah.
that they're there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was total proof that we were supposed to be together and work together. So
I want to shift a little bit
yeah.
because, and I was thinking when Ingrid was talking about, you know, working with the pastors, and I fed in, you know, met many pastors that, you know, and some of my colleagues are more afraid of man than of God. I mean, it's
right.
one thing to be afraid of man,
right.
to fear God is very
Galatians
different.
Galatians 1:10,
right.
yeah.
yeah.
And sadly, I hope many of those will come around, because
Absolutely.
We need people standing up. But there's also in the church people who love to use scripture not to speak against evil, but to support it. And there are many out there right now who are finding, cherry-picking Bible verses to support mm-hmm. abortion, to affirm abortion. And I wanted for us to kick that around a little bit, because many people are thinking, what? First time I've heard of that. Well, it's because you haven't been listening, maybe, or maybe you haven't been looking in the right place, but it's been happening frankly, people have used the Word of God to support every sin man is capable of over the centuries. So it's not unusual that now there are people, allegedly Christians, and I'm going to point to, we're going to talk a little bit of James Tallarico, who's a Texas State House representative, who calls himself a progressive Christian, and it's really progressive paganism. But at any rate, he has on Joe Rogan podcast, and he's one. He's very visible, but there's so many like him that we don't know, doing the same thing, is cherry-picking scriptures and conforming them in such a way that they support abortion.
You know, I'll let you take it here in a second, Keith. One of the things that I recognize when I'm dealing with men and women who've gone up through abortion, if they are really for abortion, it's because they've probably had one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they've been a part to it. So you have to justify what you've done so that you're not guilty. And right. So that's what Jesus came for, is to heal the guilt and the shame and all. So anyway, Keith,
This is not about getting political, because one side is pro-abortion and one side is pro-life. Mm-hmm. But what the Lord put on my...
Pro-death is pro-abortion.
Pro-death,
is
right.
How I look at it.
So, right. And okay, so what the Holy Spirit put on my heart, the best way to keep the enemy out is to keep Christ in. Mm-hmm. And when Christians are fighting Christians over the personalities of President Trump or personalities of President Biden, who is the spirit of evil, by the way, then we are not keeping Christ in. We are looking at the personalities of who we're supporting. We're not looking at Christ. We're looking at the personalities and not looking at Jesus.
That's just distraction.
So that's just a distraction.
Instead of complaining about it, people, let's lift Jesus up and what he's doing through us.
Amen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But, you know, to stay in the Word, you have to know the Word of God to be able to stay in the Word of God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, and Proverbs 1 in verse 10 to 12, it reads, "My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, 'Come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive in the grave, and we're like these who go down to the pit. And we're like these who go down to the pit,' because that's where they go."
Yeah.
Where's that found?
That is Proverbs 1, verse 10 to 12. So, and that's what, you know, that the Lord put that on my heart. And just like in Genesis chapter 9, verse 7 with Noah, when life was formed all over again, what did he say? He said, God said, "Be fruitful." And this is the God's covenant with Noah for all mankind. "As for you, be fruitful and multiply on the earth and increase upon it." He created the new covenant.
Yes.
In the chapter, in Book of Matthew, the first chapter goes through the genealogy of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And if you think about it, if one of those people in that genealogy was not there, everything would have been different.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's 14 generations from Abraham to David, from David to Babylon, from Babylon to from the exile to from 14 generations from the exile to Jesus, the Messiah. So it's 14 generations, 14 generations, and 14 generations in the book of Matthew, first chapter, showing you how life progressed till we came to Jesus Christ.
Yep.
You know, you were talking about spiritual battle, and I think one of the biggest aha moments for me, not that I haven't thought this before, but because I was sitting actually literally in the courtroom where there was... It was divided. I mean, one side was pro-life, one side was pro-choice, pro-death, whatever you want to say. And I realized that the division was there. It was physical. You could see it. But I realized this was not where it was supposed to be being fought. Mm. It wasn't supposed to be being fought in the courtroom, because it's not a political problem. It is a heart issue.
It's a spiritual problem.
It is a heart issue. Mm-hmm. And it's a personal heart issue. Sin is a personal heart issue, and we want to think that abortion is the sin of the nation. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, it is a symptom of the root problem, which is pride. I want what I want, when I want it, where I want it, how I want it. And at that moment, I did not want to be pregnant. And it wasn't that I was wanting to kill a child. I was wanting to cover up the sin I was doing of sex. Mm. So is abortion truly the problem? No, it's a symptom.
That makes sense.
It is a very deep, deep issue that has been here since the beginning of of the garden, you know? And so each of us have something that we need to lay down at the foot of the cross. And one of the other things that I wasn't going to talk about this today, but I think maybe I need to. The church in general, we have those that have had abortions, those that haven't. They're sitting in the pews together. And one in they say 1 in 4. I believe it's 1 in 3 women. But 1 in 3 women have had an abortion. So if it's not you, it's somebody sitting next to you. Okay. So what do we do as the church if you've not had an abortion? What is your position on this? What should you be doing? One thing, and one thing only, showing these women grace and forgiveness. It is not up to us to be judge and jury on this. Now, do we fight against it? We absolutely do. And there is, we use the word of God to show them the grace and mercy, but we also show them the justice. God has, you know, he can't have the grace without the justice. You just can't. The mercy, grace, and justice, that's who Jesus is. So we need to be Christ-like in our approach to these women so that they can heal, and then we can discuss being a voice. But until they find that healing, and that is the church's objective, is to show grace and mercy, to speak truth, but to show grace and mercy as well.
I wanted to say, if people don't know the truth of God, which Keith was going into regarding the issue of life, they will say that abortion is allowed in the Bible. You know what I mean? Like, anyways, Keith, did you want to finish about what you were saying about the truth and what the word says
about
life?
Well, before we do that, I need to say we have 9 minutes left, actually 8 and a half. It's time for one more brief call.
Now
the phone line is open.
So
if someone wanted to call with a comment, you need to be quick. 772-221-1100 is the number. 772-221-1100. And you'll be quick, and then we'll hear from you, and then we'll move on. Okay, Keith, go ahead.
Yeah, so we were just talking about people who are now saying that abortion is okay from the Bible. They're distorting the Word of God. And one of those people that just came on and said that is a pastor, a woman pastor, Rebecca Todd Peters, Presbyterian pastor, and she calls abortion loving kindness. And she claims this woman, Presbyterian pastor, and she's not even a pastor. When she's doing this, she's not a pastor. She's claiming that Jesus would be an abortion escort. So this is who this is what they're doling out. And she's wearing a scarf from Planned Parenthood with a book titled "Trust Women: A Progressive Christian Argument for Reproductive Justice." I mean, it was just appalling. The word is appalling.
And they're so blinded, and that it's just evil and blinded. And God can open their eyes. And this was one thing that I noticed when I was in the courtroom as well. I found myself praying for them.
What else can you do?
When the lawyer from the ACLU came up and was getting down my throat, you know, I mean, I smiled at her. I smiled at the judge because, you know what? I've got peace and I've got joy and I've got forgiveness and healing. And look, I don't have to go around in the adult. Do I like talking about this all the time? No, but you know what? I do because I know that there are people that need to see that there is healing on the other side of this. I want to say one more thing, and then I know we're getting close to the end of this, but I want to say the two names, Liam Elias and Victoria Isabel. Those two children are my children that I aborted, and I named them. And you might say, why in the world would you name two people, two children that you never saw, and moreover, actually took their lives? Why would I address them with names? Because they have personhood. They are real people, and they existed. They have purpose, just like me and just like you.
Wow.
You know, there's, I wasn't going to throw this out, but we're near the end and I feel like I need to do this. I want you to listen closely because I've been listening to the Lord for a long time on a lot of issues, but this one keeps coming to me about abortion because it really, as we say, it has to do with life, all of life.
Yeah.
And it's the beginning of life. But it's whatever the totality of that life could have been up into adulthood, that ends because it's murder. So with that in mind, listen just for a minute. If the I'm going to speak a little politically now because that invades the lawmaking process. And we have seen, by the way, some folks on the left, a lot of folks on the left, are very soft on crime. And a lot of the laws that they make reflect that. And some of the laws that exist that would give them more authority against crime, they don't enforce. So think about this for a minute. Could the day come if pro-choice people with that kind of attitude who can gain traction in the lawmaking process could someday homicide be considered a late-term abortion?
Well, it's coming.
It's coming. Yeah. Listen, I'm not making this up.
It's a life.
It can move outward. The laws can, you know, these people, they don't just want to kill babies in the womb.
No.
They want to encourage murder. Look at the culture that supports that. Look at the attitudes of the allegedly law people that enforce the laws in many of these big blue cities. It can happen.
Do you know that the Gen Z population, one-third of their of the Gen Zs are gone? One-third of that population is non-existent.
Because they were aborted.
Yes. Jeremiah 1:5. I feel like we need to, we're not getting to the word enough, guys. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Okay, every baby that was even conceived, the Lord knew. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Jeremiah 1:5.
Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 139, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed substance.
Yes.
This is in the Word of God, guys.
Amen. You know, in a book titled 101 Answers to Questions About Satan, Demons, and Spiritual Warfare, which I've been reading, it's by Mark Hitchcock. And there's a story in there, and it goes like this. A plane was flying from overseas back to the United States on 9/11 in 2001, and it was carrying a young female soldier along with Jill Briscoe, who's a well-renowned Christian author. They got diverted because of the attack on 9/11. They got diverted to Iceland for a couple of days because of 9/11. So the young female soldier looked distressed and shaken, anticipating what was in her future. Jill eventually initiated a conversation with her to see if she was okay and then try to encourage her or to comfort her. When Jill asked her why she was so shaken, the young woman soldier responded, "I didn't join the army to go to war." Mm. Many believers are like that today. And we need to get involved.
Yeah.
Get in the battle. It is a spiritual battle. Get in the battle.
The best way to keep
That's great, Keith.
The best way to keep the enemy out is to keep Christ in.
That's
and
right.
This nation, you know, there's so many people trying to get Christ out of this nation. And now we're trying to get Christ back into the nation.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
So we got about a minute.
So with what is going on now and what they're trying to teach us or say to us, that abortion is okay from the Bible, no matter who's telling you the lies. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 tells us, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Just think about that verse. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. If you don't believe that the Bible is timeless and the Word of God is timeless, just look at that. Just look at that scripture.
Amen.
Amen.
It was a great show today, guys. We'll see you next week.
God bless.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at wcno@wcno.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.